Scripture, turn to the book of Colossians, chapter number 1 this morning. The book of Colossians. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Good to see several people back that's been gone for a little while. Luke, Megan, your family, good to have y'all back. What a blessing it is to see y'all back. And it's always good to have Brother J.D. and Miss Waylene back. Let's continue praying for Brother Potts' wife, Miss Jean. As you can tell, she's not with him. Let's just continue lifting her up in prayer. And then I look back through there and I see some visitors. It's good to have you with us. Bubba, it's good to have you and Miss Lisa back. I hope you've been taking good care of her and being a caregiver while she was going through her surgery. It's just a blessing. Continue praying for those in the hospital. We've got two in the hospital. That's Sister Betty Badgett. Just continue praying for her. One in the hospital, and then Sister Cletha got to come home, so I thank the Lord for that. Ronnie Billings is over in room 410 at Wilt Senior Village. Let's pray for that. And this coming Thursday, Brother Max Jenny's going to be having some surgery, so you pray, Brother Max. I'm not going to hit everybody. Joe, we're still praying for you, brother. I don't know what to do except for commit it to the Lord and give it to him and see what he does with it. But we're praying for all the different prayer requests. And I was in a funeral this past week, and in that funeral, many, many people lost. I mean, several of them acknowledged their lost condition. So let's just pray that God will continue to work. If you're there, if you're here today and you were at that funeral, I don't know who's back there. I can't see everybody. There's a couple hundred people here. Plus, there were several people said they were coming. And if you're a visitor, just listen to the Word of God and let Him help you. The book of Colossians, I need my light on. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. We're going to start the reading in verse number 15 of the first, of that first chapter in the book of Colossians. Just a little background. This is Paul writing to the church at Colossae. And he's teaching them about something that I've used in jest. And for those that already know this, Brother Tim, I had him look up my new life verse. Tim said, what is it, preacher? I said, turn to Psalm 37:37 and read the first four words. And if you turn to 37:37, the book of Psalm, and you read the first four words, it says, Mark, the perfect man. I didn't make that up. It's in there. What are you laughing at, little brother? Beyond that, it says, here's what it says. It says, Mark, the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Now, wait a minute. You say, wait a minute. There ain't never been, and I hear this all the time, ain't never been but one perfect man, and that man was Christ. When we finish today, you're going to find out that you can be perfect in Christ Jesus. I promise you that. You can be perfect in Christ Jesus. You said that was a different dispensation. I'm not taking Old Testament doctrine to give you a New Testament church age something to make you feel good today. I'm going to tell you how you can be perfect in the eyes of Almighty God. But it's going to take something on your part. And it's going to take some on his part. But guess what? He's already done his part. Now it's up to you to do yours. Let's just read today. My voice is still shot. I'm not apologizing for it. God knows what we need. Preached it out over the past few weeks. Just God knows what we're doing, and we're going to keep on trying. Anyway, in the book of Colossians, we'll begin the reading in verse number 15, in the first chapter. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether that be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He ain't taking second fiddle to any of us. Go ahead and mark that down. He's not going to do that. I don't care how good you think you are or how perfect I might think I am. We'll give you the definition of perfect in a minute, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. That word means blameless, by the way. And we'll get there in just a little bit. But it says that he's preeminent in all things. But in verse number 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, in which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoiced in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, he's already said that twice, that his body is the church. We're part of the body of Christ. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of the gospel of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen expressly to verse number 28. It's speaking of Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. I'm going to ask my little brother, Ryan, if he will, to bless our scripture reading. And then we're just going to bring you a message about striving for perfection. I look around and, man, everywhere I look, people are striving for perfection. I don't understand this, but I know some of you women have your eyebrows waxed. You do. Some of you shave them off and paint them on. Why? Because you want perfect eyebrows. Some of you go spend $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 for gel nails or acrylic nails or fake nails or perfect nails because you want perfect nails. You might go to a tanning bed or lay in the sun because you want a perfect tan. You may not be satisfied with your height, so you wear taller shoes. Why? Because you want to be taller. You want to be perfect. Let me tell you, we will not attain perfection in this body. Ryan, if we woke up in the morning, where's Jacob and Tyler here? I love him too, young. Did they come today, Brother Robbie? Y'all know who I'm talking about. Look like a Willoughby or something. Look like one of them little Swiffers. Ryan, if you woke up in the morning, looked like Preston. He got a good, healthy looking head of hair. What would you do with that? You don't know. I wouldn't know what to do with it either. But that's a perfect looking head of hair right there. Tam, what would you do if you woke up in the morning and looked like me and Ryan? He said, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go get a perfect wig. Listen, there's nothing wrong with trying to look better. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You need to feel good about yourself. But I want you to understand that striving for perfection in this body is going to come up and leave you very hopeless and very empty. We're going to look around, brother, and there's always going to be somebody better looking than we are. There's always going to be somebody taller than we are, thinner than we are, heavier than we are. There's always going to be somebody, and this is all about the natural. We want a better car. We want a perfect car. I want the perfect house. I wanted it to be, Brother Woody, I don't just want the perfect house. I want it to be in the perfect setting, in the perfect neighborhood, with perfect neighbors. Yeah. I want everybody around me to love God and love him as much as I do or more. And I want a perfect church. Everybody here, I want everything to be perfect. And that's the way we are. We strive for perfection. And since we cannot master that, since we cannot, what do? We do the things, Brother Varun, come on in, Brother Daniel. We do the things that we think are necessary to complete that total package. And we'll go to great expenses. People spend countless of hundreds and hundreds and millions of dollars on health and beauty aids and on this and that. And really, everything that we need is inherent and it's there from the very beginning. And we miss it and we strive for it. Where's my new mothers? Have I got Lindsay? Have you got your baby with you? I won't bring her up here because I don't want to. I can't touch her yet. I'm not to that status. That's given right now to Beth and Robbie. But whenever she come out, when that baby come out, when Miss Aubrey came out of the mother's womb, she come out hungry for something. She wanted milk. Brother Tim, she's never tasted milk. She's never smelled milk. She's never drank milk, but yet that younger comes out of the mother's womb. What's she desirous of? She wants some mother's milk. And then that's just the way it is. It's a given thing. We too, as we grow, we want certain things. And this body starts hungering and longing even for certain things. And we start striving for that, Brother Tam, that's going to make us whole. That's going to fulfill us and give us that same thing. When Miss Lindsay would put that baby to the bottle and give her that breast milk and the sweetness thereof, it satisfies that baby. There's no doubt in my mind, Miss Megan, when you nurse that little baby of yours, bless God, she loves that mama and she loves that milk. Bless God, the older we get, we try our best to satisfy this flesh. And this flesh is hungry. This flesh is desirous of that would make it perfect. Brother, it's not going to be perfect down here. But yet we do, Brother Grant. We start putting stuff in it. We heap all kinds of sin upon it. We invite all kinds of and different measures of sinful devices into our life, trying to get better, do better, have more fun, have more pleasure. Let me tell you, that stuff's going to leave you empty at the end of the day, because there's pleasure in sin, but only for a season. And then that season dissipates and goes away. And then where are you at the end of that long day? You're still hungry. You're still desirous, and you're still striving for that excellency and that perfectedness. It's not going to happen in this body. It's just not. Give me just a few things, and don't anybody run and get me a bottle of water. I grabbed one myself a little while ago. I want to tell you just a few things really quickly. By definition, to be perfect is namely this, to be complete. You said, show me that. If I drew you a circle and I went like this and stopped, is that a complete circle? No. But if I drew you a perfect circle, I would do this. And I would make sure that it come back around and it meets the starting point. That is a perfect circle. That means that it is complete. It is whole. That's one definition, to be made complete. The other is to be blameless. And we saw that word used down in verse number 22, that he would present you unblameable. I said blameless. The Bible says unblameable. But the other would be that you take a diamond, and diamonds are nothing more than coal. Am I right or wrong? They are carbon deposits. Under great stress and time and pressure, that chunk of coal becomes a diamond. And the refiner or the polisher of that diamond, he'll cut that thing into certain places to make sure that you get the right cut. And if you've got a lot of money, you can get a perfect diamond. That'll be one without any inclusions. That'll be one without a carbon spot on it. It might be I2 or S2, and it might be H or J in the clarity. But to get a perfect diamond would be that it is flawless. It's without any kind of blemish. It's blameless. But to have some little inclusions and imperfections in there, it would not be a perfect stone. Okay, what else? That's to be complete, or to be without character flaws, or to be unblameable or blameless. And the other one would be to be unequaled. Now, I want you to hear this just a minute. To be called perfect is not always a good thing. If I look at Preston, and I say, because Preston is lazy and a sluggard, and he wants to do sleep. He gets up at 4 in the evening, and he's still got the Cheetos on his face from where he went to sleep after playing video games for 12 solid hours straight. And that's what he gets up late, and he stays up late, and he gets up late. He just doesn't do nothing. And what I've come to determine, that this is a perfect brat. Now, being perfect's not always a good thing. If I called you a perfect brat, what I'm saying is, he is an unequaled brat, because ain't nobody quite like him. Now, you're not a perfect brat. You may be. I'd have to confer with somebody else of higher authority than me, and I'd ask Brother John, but I could have said that about anybody in here. I just use you because you're sitting where Chris sits. So if I said that, Varun, you're perfect, it may not mean exactly what you think that I mean. But I want to show you through the scriptures, bless God, that you, God help us right here, you can have a perfect marriage. I'm telling you, you can have a perfect husband. And you, my friend, can have a perfect wife. I can have a perfect wife, and she can have a perfect husband. We can have a perfect marriage, and we can have perfect children. And not only can she have perfect, when we have perfect children, but she can have perfect parents. And bless God, we can come together. And Brother Daniel, you can have a perfect pastor. And bless God, I can have perfect congregation members. I can have perfect parishioners. And everybody in here, bless God, we can all be made perfect. But the only thing that's going to make the difference is is when every one of us gets back to this book and does what it says, we will have to be made perfect in Christ Jesus. Here's what it says. Go back to the scriptures in 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. What? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You're not perfect in your own. I'm not perfect in my own. I am a flawed creature. Not flawless, but I am flawed. I am that clay that they talked about and that Varun talked about. I am that clay that is so marred in the very hand of the potter. But bless God, I'm glad that he didn't throw the clay away. I'm glad that he didn't just say, I can't use that lump and discard it. I'm marred in the hand of the potter. Yes. But he made it again as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Made me. Yes. What a blessing. How did he do that? Mascot, he did put me in the middle of his wheel. Mascot, he did put in that water. You said water. Hey, man, bless God. We are washed by the water of his word. And when he puts in that holy water, bless God, that clay becomes pliable and moldable and can be fashioned into anything that the master potter wants to make it. I can become a perfect vessel as long as I'm in the perfect hands. I want to show you a few things really quick as we go through the Bible. The Bible says in the book of Genesis in 6 and 9, you don't have to turn there, but if we were to walk through the pages very quickly, and you're going to say, but yeah, but that was in a different dispensation. Just listen with me real quick. In the book of Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 9, the Bible said in verse number 8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And then look what it said in the scriptures. It says that Noah was a just and a perfect man. What kind of a man? A just man, an upright man. And the Bible said that he was a perfect man. It also says that Abram in 17 and 1, that he was perfect. Job was said to be an upright and a perfect man, one that feared God and escheweth evil. But it was said that he was perfect. God said that Asa's heart in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 17 said that Asa had a perfect heart. And then we go on down. It could be said about many of us in here. Man, he's got a perfect testimony. What does a perfect testimony mean? What would it mean when Noah was perfect? What would it mean that Abram was perfect? It meant that God had a touch on their life. And if I said you're the perfect preacher, bless God, what that mean is he's been with God and he has been conformed to the image of God's son, not anything else, but made alike Christ Jesus, Brother Danny. And because of that, Brother Woody, you've been a perfect deacon for this church for 40 plus years. You said he'd been a perfect deacon. He sure has. You served well, brother. You served with honor, with distinction, without character flaws, being blameless, not cheating on your wife, not taking unfilthy lucre, ungodly or unlawfully. You served well. You've been a perfect deacon for this church, and God has blessed this church because of the perfectedness of the leadership over the years. Brother, when I say that you can be perfect, you can be perfect. Yes. Eli, you can have a perfect daddy. You say, I already do. You should feel that way. I feel that way about my heavenly father. My earthly father was flawed in so many ways. But bless God, whenever he got saved, Miss Cindy, didn't he become the perfect daddy? Oh, he did. Brother Tam, I could tell you stories about my family growing up, and I think, what a mess. What a mess. But one trip to Calvary, it changed everything. We had the perfect family, the perfect daddy, the perfect home. So we keep going. And like I said, we could go all the way through there. And I could go to these different perfects of anything and show you that everything and everybody could be perfect. But it's only going to be perfect in Christ Jesus. Amen. Go to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 7. I'm sorry, there's not a 7 in 1 John. We'll go to 1 John and chapter number 4, I want to show you what makes a church perfect, what makes church members perfect, what makes perfect teachers and perfect deacons and perfect pastors and perfect preachers and everything. Bible says in 7 of the book of 1 John, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You said, where are you going with that? I'm going down to the verse number 18 where it tells us about perfect love. Bible says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. But we love him because he first loved us. My friends, if you're saved by God's grace and you've been baptized by the Holy Ghost of God and the fire of God's holy word, and brother, he set you aside and you come to that saving grace, bless God, you realize he does love me. And that perfect love comes into your life. Bless God, you can be made perfect in Christ Jesus because of that. He even said it back in the other verse that we read in the book of Colossians about the blood of his cross. Going back over there just a second to read that. Go back to Colossians chapter number 1 and trying to find my verses here. Just trust me, it's in there. I just read it. I can't even see it now. I got you on looking, but anyway, it said by the blood of his cross. What's that? Verse number 20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And then look what he says. He said that you were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind, being made by wicked works. But now, bless God, we have been reconciled. Once you have been reconciled by God's marvelous grace, bless God, that's what perfects us. That's what makes you somebody that's blameless. That's what makes you complete, as I showed you in the circle. That's what makes you unequaled. Bless God, and we're all unequaled. You might be the perfect Christian. You might be the perfect preacher. But bless God, when I say that, you're unequaled. Why? Because nobody else can preach like you do. Nobody else is going to pastor like I do or serve like you do. Or work like you do. My God, that's why it's up to every one of us to be unequal and to be perfect only in Christ Jesus. You can be. And I want you to be. God wants you to be. He wants to present. God wants to present unto his son a bride, as it will, without spot and without a blemish. He don't want to give his son a bride that looks like she just got through changing the oil in her wedding gown. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to give. He wants to present unto himself a spotless bride. And he will, because we're made spotless or perfect by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Somebody read that, Brother Larry, I think, in the book of Isaiah chapter number 1 and verse number 18 about come now and let us reason together. Though we're filthy, Brother Larry. Though we're black. Though we're dirty and scarlet. And we're everything. He said we can be like snow or wool. And we can be. We can be made perfect in Christ Jesus. Cindy, doesn't that please you to know that Mark, the perfect man, is the perfect husband for you? Why are y'all laughing? I've been saved. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been made clean. I've been made whole. And bless God, I will be presented back to him as a bride. I'll be part of that bride, bless God. And when I stand before him, I will stand there without a spot and without a blemish.
Amen.
That's why that she says, I've got the perfect husband.
Yes.
Then what would the perfect husband be? It's one that's been saved by God's grace. One that is yielded to the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. You want a perfect home? Get your house in order. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You want a healthy home and a happy home and a perfect home? Then raise your children up to fear God and bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Train them up in the way that they should go, Brother Woody. The Bible said to husbands to love your wives. And it tells the parents to love those children. It tells the children to obey mom and daddy. Then it tells us not to provoke them unto wrath. It all works together. It'll make a perfect household.
Yes.
How are we going to get a perfect church? We're going to make sure that every member in here is striving for perfection, longing for that perfectedness. I'm going back into our scriptures just a minute. I'm not suggesting you go home tonight or this afternoon and pluck your eyebrows. That's not going to help you one lick. If you want to do that, I'll help you. I did that one day by accident. Brother, I was shaving my head, and I was going all over it, and I just took that thing right by one of my eyebrows. Ah, that was my right eyebrow. You know what I did, brother? I said, oh, well, got the left one. And I went and looked at Cindy. I'm like this. She said, what? I said, look closer. She said, what did you do? I shaved my eyebrows. I had that clipper going, brother, and I just... It doesn't help me to be more perfect. It wouldn't help you if you went and got two facelifts. People put braces on their teeth to make their teeth perfect. None of this stuff matters. Do you realize the teeth that are crooked are going to decay at the same rate of them that are straight whenever you're laid out in a grave? Do you realize that everything is equal? Every one of us, brother, you can have $10 million in the bank and I can have $2, but our graves are going to be the same size. Does that not matter to anybody, Brother Kippy? Bless God, that in Christ Jesus, some are going to be made perfect by the blood of the Lamb, and some are going to stand there, and they're not going to be blameless. They will be held accountable. They'll be there in all of their sin. They will be blamed. They will have that charge of sin on their life, and they're not going to be made perfect before God. Why? Because they've rejected the blood of the Lamb. And bless God, they're going to be cast out. You ever wondered why houses are so disarrayed? Marriages are dissolving at a greater rate than they ever have before. Brother Tam, the homes are not perfect. The marriages are not perfect. Why? Because the bride's not perfect and the groom's not perfect. You're saying, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying something is unequal yoked. Somebody's lost. Somebody's not focused on God. Somebody's not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Why are these kids disobedient and rebellious? Must God, somebody dropped the ball somewhere. You said, not always. And I'll give you that, not always, because we have our own free will and we're going to pretty much do what we want to do. But must God, overall, you'll have a happy home. Must God, you'll have a perfect home. Bless God, if every one of you in the home would honor God and be made perfect in the blood of the Lamb. Take some of your situations. It's been a turmoil. It's been a battle. It's been a fight. It's been a struggle. Why is it that way? Because the whole house is not perfected. Whole house has not been striving for perfection. Whole house has not been honoring God with their livelihood and with their living. Some of you robbed God. When you robbed God, bless God, you can expect God to hold back a blessing from you. You're not living perfect. Why? Because you're robbing God. It's all tied together. It's all fitly framed together. Am I right or wrong? Well, Tim, I find you to be a perfect member. Why? Because you hear every time the doors are open? No. Because you sit up near the front and you hear the word of God and you take? No. But because you've been saved by God's grace. Because you're a prayer warrior. You care about your brethren. You visit the sick. You see things going on. You take care of the needs. I'm telling you, my friend, brother, you're a perfect preacher. I love you, preacher. You know why you're perfect? Because I find you blameless according to that word. Because you have been along with Jesus Christ and got saved by his grace. I want you to understand, when I said that opening up, every one of y'all started laughing whenever I said, Mark, the perfect man. I'm only perfect in Christ Jesus. That part that y'all know, Brother Larry, not so much. Gerald, the part you see, not so much. That part that you see, nah. I didn't mean to bust your bubble by saying that either. I know you thought that I was, but... Tam, how are we going to have a perfect church? By having perfect members. How are y'all going to be perfect members? Get saved by God's grace. Don't just play the role that Grant Suther did. Don't just play the role that Mary Sluter did. Don't play the role that Joey Combs did and others did. You say, what was that role that they played? They were youth leaders and Sunday school teachers and Sunday school superintendents. Good members. But not perfect members. Why? Because you served in that role as a lost man. Because you held an office as a lost woman. Because you held an office as a lost man. Miss Macy, come over to the piano. I'm just about done. I'm going back to this verse of scripture. You just remain seated for just a second. Paul said in verse number 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory and of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. I give you three different definitions of the word perfect. To be made complete. You will not be complete until you are complete in Christ Jesus. I told you that baby Megan's baby, Aubrey, every one of them. I don't care whose baby. They come out desiring. They soon lose that desire for the meal. They want something solid. The devil's going to offer us everything to fill this longing that's in us. But you won't be complete until you are complete in Christ. The other part was to be blameless or flawless, like I told you about the stone where the imperfections were taken out of it. The carbon deposits removed. The inclusions are gone. Then I can present to you a flawless diamond, unlike the one I gave Cindy. And then the last thing was unequaled. I presented to you a perfect brat. That's a perfect mess. Every one of us can be made perfect. We can be unequaled. We can be made complete. And we can stand before God as blameless. You said, where'd these definitions come from? I used an old dictionary, an old Noah Webster, 1828. Why? Because I found that it was getting closer to where the Bible was trying to get. And when I brought those things forward, Brother John, I found out before I was a saved man, I was not complete. I was blamed. And I was equaled. I could cuss with the best of them. I could do anything anybody else did. I could rival the worst of the sinners. Probably even challenge some of them into sin. And most of us could have. I've heard people say, I can drink him under the table. Why, is that something to be proud of? I can drink him. What are you saying? He said, I can drink more than he could before he passed out. He passed out at 6, and I can drink 10 before I pass out. That's nothing to be proud of. You can be equaled in your sin or even surpassed. And you are blamed. You are blamed. You will stand before God as guilty. He's not going to hold us innocent or guiltless when we stand before him. As we stand over the house today, you want a perfect house? You want a perfect home? You want a perfect heart? You want a perfect life? You want a perfect marriage? You want perfect children? You want a perfect whatever? Why don't you try Jesus Christ out? Why don't you just try him out? And I trust you, and I give you this confidence, Brother Tam. I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. And that's the only way that I'm perfect. There's nothing good about this man. My filthiness is ever before God. My righteousness is filthy before God. Anything I could touch, Brother John, it's nasty before God. Oh, but that inward man, that part that he reached way down in, he put that Holy Spirit of promise in. But that's God, that's a perfect part. That's a perfect part of me, Brother Woody. You might not be able to see it. I hope you do. I hope you see that. I hope it comes out. I see it in your smiles. I hope it comes out once in a while. I've always said something big of God comes in, he going to stick out somewhere. Amen. I hope people can see it. Yes, we should look past the character flaws of people. Just because you don't like their mannerisms or you don't like their way or walk or whatever, look past that. If that man's saved by God's grace, that's a perfect man right there. Perfected by grace. Made whole by the Lamb. What have you got? Number 81, just as I am. If you need to come today, by all means, wouldn't you like to be perfect? Varun, wouldn't you like to be perfect? You said, I am perfect. In Christ Jesus, you are. As we sing today.